Hey guys, this is Brett Yeager here with Cauldron Boil. We are here with my friend Brandon. Say hi, Brandon.
Hello, how's it going?
Good. So, Brandon Jacobson, and would you consider yourself a musician, a jack of all trades, or I mean, what do you consider yourself?
Right now, an entrepreneur and performing musician.
Okay, right on. So, Brandon did the production audio for our upcoming horror feature film Bone Jangles, and so he came on last minute and really saved our asses when it came to that. So we thank him greatly.
Well, it was well worth it. Such an experience. So absolutely.
So how did you get attached to Bone Jangles? I just remember getting a call from Zeke, the producer, and saying, "Okay, we have Brandon coming like tomorrow, and he'll be doing audio, and you know he hasn't seen the equipment that we're using, but he's a smart guy, so he'll be able to catch on."
Well, it's kind of funny because it was literally the same day I had quit a job working for the Republican Party collecting funds, and it was just a horrible job. And anyways, it was like, oh, let's take the opportunity to find out, keep working and pursuing what I wanted to do in entertainment, music and such. And Ben Gersh had posted about needing an audio guy. And I know I had plenty of experience running sound equipment from, studio productions and microphones and such. And called him. I left a Facebook post. He put me in touch with Zeke. I called Zeke and, talked to him for about 5-10 minutes. I said I'd give him a call in, 20 minutes and have a decision, because it was a 6-hour drive from where I was. And, you started filming the next day. So there I was, I ended up calling and saying I wanted the gig and wanted to go with it.
So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty crazy. And the fact is that you, at the time, you being a musician and all, you knew the ins and outs of the audio equipment per se, but you actually hadn't done production sound on a movie before, correct?
Correct. That was actually the first opportunity to do so. And it was, I want to do more, absolutely. Yeah,
and what's really actually a testament to your ability to learn quickly is that the audio on Bone Jangles, the audio and the production sound is actually really good, and that's usually the first giveaway of an indie film, because they usually don't have the budget to do the audio correctly, or they simply just overlook it, and actually. It actually turned out really, really good.
Good. And I have spent plenty of time recording my own music, understanding, meters and metrics and making sure they don't peak. And, it's just about capturing how the microphone works and what kind of microphone you're using. And, if you're able to place in the right angle, and, Sean had a big help in, helping guide where he wanted it to. I mean, we all worked together on making that happen.
Yeah, right on. I mean, it was pretty interesting. Do you have any fond memories of living on set with us for like a month?
The whole month, pretty much. Yeah, it was all incredible. Some of the favorite times were just hanging out in between, getting to know everybody and just the crazy people that we all are, making a family.
So you ended up bringing on your girlfriend, right? Yep. Or was she your fiance or your girlfriend, correct?
Yep.
At the time? Okay. So, and she was, I don't even know how far along. I just know that she was pregnant and she came on and she was a huge help too. Like everybody fell in love with her on set and it was like, okay, you guys basically you worked really, really well together and it helped us in the end for sure.
Yeah. She's been a huge support. I mean, another reason why I was able to do it is she lent me her car within only that 20 minutes of knowing, what this whole thing was. I went out there for the first week and told her about it. Came, got to come back, and I'll pick her up and, like you said, bring her into this whole part of it. And yeah, like you, it's good. It's great.
Do you have a, you know, looking back on it, we were at the premiere, correct? Mm-hmm. On Halloween night, and that cut of it is actually pretty different now than the final version we just wrapped up this week. So now the 5.1 surround mix is done.
Yeah, good.
The score is complete now, the music, everything, and the sound effects, the Foley. So it's all done now. And I watched it last week and I was completely blown away at how much better it was now, or it is now, than it was, you know, at the Halloween premiere. I mean, we rushed it a little bit to try to get it out there, but now it's phenomenal. So, what, looking back on it, what are your favorite scenes, or what are scenes that you remember filming and you were just like, man, I love, you know, being on a movie set. I gotta do this again.
Oh, definitely. It's definitely the first week was, cause it was, you know, all new to me. I remember sitting up, going through that warehouse and exploring around there, making sure that, you know, the shooting location was safe, and then how we were going to set it up for lights and getting all the lighting angles correct. And like, that was, that was one of the first times when it hit me, when I was like, oh, this is how people make movies. This is what I've always seen. When you're staring at a screen on a movie, you're not seeing, you're only seeing what the producer and the director wants you to see. You're not seeing all the people that are all around making it possible. And that definitely was a huge connection at that point. Other times was the break of dawn. I think we were out there, we had gone out to do the fire scene, and getting up early in the morning, making sure everything was set. It's beautiful. I mean, that's what I want to do. Well, as everyone else does always. It's, you know, what else would you want to do?
I'm surprised you mentioned that scene when we're, was it the 1800s mm-hmm. Western scene?
Yep.
I wanted to like gouge my eyes out and just call it quits after that night. Like, filming that night, it was just, everything was just going so slow. And we had these amazing volunteers and actors set up, and they were waiting and waiting and waiting, and things just weren't going as planned. I just remember thinking, oh my God, if I survive this night, it is, you know. And I remember filming so late into the night. Yeah. And getting back at just before sunrise, and the van I was driving overheated, so we had to like add water to the heat radiator and all this other crap. And it was, I just remember that night being pretty stressful. But so what were some of the challenges you had with, you know, learning the equipment and actually capturing audio on set when we were always on location? So we were never in a studio where you had perfect weather, perfect audio, environment. What were some of the challenges that you as a, you know, musician, as, you know, an audio person, had to overcome?
Oh, it would be, like you said, environmental challenges. And again, going back to Sean, and I think even you had mentioned it, Zeke also mentioned it, with room tone and making sure that you're capturing the atmosphere of where you're shooting, about 30 seconds, 45 seconds, minute and a half, whatever you need to layer underneath that. And that'll help smooth the transitions. And that, you know, we maybe missed the first 3 or 4 days of that, but after that, you know, we made sure we did that on each scene. And that actually, I think, probably had a huge testament towards making the audio a lot smoother. And again, also the direction of knowing what kind of equipment you're using, like a mic, the omnidirectional or cardioid, whatever kind of mic it is, where it's picking up, how close you need to be. All those things definitely help.
Very nice. So, tell the audience, and, you know, this is a brand new podcast, so, you know, they might not know exactly who you guys are, who I'm interviewing. They don't even know who I am, maybe. So who are you, you know, as a musician, as a person? How did you get started in music? Because everything I've listened to of yours is fantastic. So did you teach yourself, or tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Brett. Yeah, I started as a self-taught guitar player at age of 14. I'm 29 now, and I wasn't until I was 24, I'd say, I decided to pursue music a little bit more seriously. You know, I went from being self-taught, learning heavy metal jams and jamming with, you know, people in basements and being in small bands, to wanting to study music theory, how to write songs. And so I enrolled myself in college, started taking music, psychology courses, sociology, just understanding how people work, how they interact together. And that really opened me up to a whole broad aspect of, I started taking theater production classes, I started meeting the right people. I made a lot of friends pretty quickly in the music network. And from there, I just started putting myself out there. Any opportunity I saw, I was like, hey, I can do that. Let me do it. Let me get my hands on. I can read the music. I can write the music. I can perform. What do you want? You want me to play the bass, drums? What do you want me to do? Sound recording. Let's do it. Let's get it done.
it's pretty awesome because, I haven't asked you this, but is there a song of yours that we can play at the end of the podcast so people can kind of get a flavor of who you are as an artist? And do you have a website or a Facebook profile that
I actually just did have a website, and then I was pursuing, you know, this independent career pretty full frontal, you know, as far as I could the last couple of years, but now I've got a full-time job, and I was running a website the last 6 months, and I didn't keep up with it, unfortunately, so all the content on it got deleted. So I'm going to have to rebuild it from the ground up, which is, you know, just a learning opportunity that I see. And again, that's kind of the person I am. I want to keep going and doing whatever I can. And now I'm enrolled in Full Sail University, so I'm pursuing the entertainment bachelor's degree, so it's entertainment business. And I have been learning how to, everything from budgeting, film productions, lighting design, how to put, after you mix all this stuff, put it into a studio, how to make sure that it's going to sound good, like you said, that 5.1 Dolby. There's so much that I've been, you know, studying and learning. I want to be a master of the craft of audio and entertainment. And then from there, I just want to really do what I can to help other people, again, like get these things done, get the artistic and creativity that's out there and get it captured so other people can see it and, you know, consume it for other artists to keep growing and keep growing.
That's awesome. So do you have like a stage name that you go by, or how can people look you up?
Oh man, that's another thing I've been, you know, as an artist, it's, I have a lot of ways I express myself. I do visual art. I do music. I do, you know, I've actually done my own little trailer before, you know, with film, or my iPad I shot it with, you know. So I go by B-Love in the Creation Co. That's going to be my independent songwriting artist. And then I play bass for a band called Just Merlin. We're putting out an album here in May. We have a CD release scheduled. Let's see. I've been doing some sound design and some sound scoring for a guy named David Gunn. He's putting out some small films on YouTube, and a new movie coming out called Need. I've been working on for about the last year now, almost wrapped up with that. And if people wanted to look me up, Facebook, you can follow me at BLoveCreate on Twitter. And what else do I got? I got LinkedIn. I got About Me. I got all those social media profiles to look me up and interact and get a hold of me.
Very cool, man. Very cool. Well, I mean, and thinking back on it now, is you didn't just do audio. You were actually in quite a bit of scenes. I mean, I remember a day where we were filming and we needed a lot of extras for zombies. And I turn around, we filmed some of the scene, and I turn around for like 5 minutes. I come back and all the extras had gone home, and there was like nobody left. And it was the prom scene. And you played a zombie in, oh my gosh, you probably played a zombie in like seven different scenes, seven different times.
I remember I had jumped off of a table at one point, ripped my pants, got a rug burn, or got like the skid on, you know, from the gymnasium. And there was a big hole in my pants. So from there, I just tore my pants off. So then I remember, well, you know, get a full body shot. So now I'm missing a pant leg, and I kind of made my hair different or something. And yep. I remember doing that. Like I said, if something needs to be done and you want work to be done, I love to work in this industry. I'm going to do everything I can.
Well, and not only that, then when we were filming the last camping scenes in was it July or something like that, you played you had speaking role where you got to jam on the guitar. Yeah, you got to jam on the guitar a little bit.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't want to give it away, but your character is pretty funny. I keep laughing at your lines because I guess I should stop talking about it, because otherwise I am going to give it away.
Well, I think it fits me pretty well. You know, the whole point of it, it's kind of, like I said, I always kind of fit that character pretty well.
Yeah. So, and you knew your line. You actually had quite a bit of lines there. How did you approach, you know, memorizing your lines, or how did you approach your character?
Oh, I read that script at least 30 times, and then after that, I read it out loud at least another 30 times, and then I recorded myself saying those lines probably for 3-4 days before heading out to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So it took me, you know, 15 days to prepare, you know, make sure I had them memorized, drilled in my head. And then I tried different ways of, like, getting my voice, you know, is he excited? Is he, you know, scared? Is he worried? Is he nervous about being around these people? Or is he just cool with being in any crowd? And Bruce is the kind of guy that's, you know, he goes with the flow. He's all right.
That's super funny. So, you know, just kind of going back to you as a musician, what do you have in the works again? Just one more time, so people can know, you know, what you're working on and where to get your to listen to some of your stuff.
Yeah, certainly. First of all, the first thing I'm doing, the electric bass, I'm performing with them. They're called Just Merlin. They're a pretty awesome hard rock band, 90s kind of pop rock. And we have a full album coming out. We're going to be recording our second album pretty soon. But if you want to start catching us, we're getting ready to do this album release tour starting in May. We're going to be hitting pretty much all southern Minnesota, eventually maybe some North Dakota, Wisconsin, Iowa, or probably later towards the end of summer. And then personally, I've been writing music for the last 2 years of just pop music. I'm a big pop fan, and I want to write music for other artists. So I've been producing about 15 songs. Now I hired a couple musicians to go into the studio. I composed all the music myself and then hired a drummer, and then all the other instruments I played and performed myself. And then I'm deciding if I want to put my own lyrics on it or maybe hire somebody to sing on it. But other than that, it's coming along pretty well. And that's Love and the Creation Co.
Nice. So you are really busy.
Yeah, full-time student, full-time dad, full-time boyfriend, full-time work at Shutterfly across the street from where I live.
Right on. So you currently residing in Minnesota?
Yep, I live in Shakopee right now.
Shakopee, okay. So I drive through there every time I go back to South Dakota.
Okay, yep. Yeah. Probably take 169.
Yeah. Good old 169. But now might have to change it. Yep. But now I might have to change that a little bit, because I think it was this summer 169 through just north of Mankato is gonna be closed down
or something. Yeah,
I might have to take 212 if I can. But anyways, that's another story. Yeah. So, you know, I really do appreciate you taking the time, and I know you're a super busy guy, but taking the time to you know, come talk with me, you know, on the Cauldron Boil here. And we're excited to have you on here as guest number two. So,
yeah, thank you.
Actually, I'm guest number three. Here. Guest number three, Lawrence Curry, who played Juan La Rumba in Bone Jangles, did a interview months ago, but we had technical difficulties, never finished it up, so we got to get that finished. But interviewee number three. So thank you so much for taking the time. Is there anything that you want to say or shout out or anything like that before we wrap up for the night?
First of all, I mean, I've been staring at your background this whole time. I feel kind of weak about mine back here. That's a pretty awesome set you got behind there. But definitely, I mean, anyone who's watching this, go see Bone Jangles. It's going to be worth it. There's a lot of great people. It's funny. It's hilarious. It's gory. It's what you want to see. And I want to shout out to the whole Bone Jangles family again. It was a beautiful experience to be there. Sean O'Connell for making it happen. Zeke Hansen for making it happen. Keith for being crazy guy that he is to write. You know, Wayne, you said he was there. He's going to be that guy's working hard too. you know, stand-up comedians got some pretty good stuff out there. Everyone else, you know, I just love everybody. I love doing this. So, and if you want to work with me, just get a hold of me. I'm the guy you want.
Bone Jangles definitely will not be the last time we work together. So I can't believe it's been, you know, this long already. Where does the time go by, you know?
Yeah.
So, all right, Brandon, well, thank you. And we'll let you get back to your kid and your family. So you have a great night. And this is Brett Yeager from Cauldron Boyle signing off.
Have a good night.
Have a good night.
Thanks. Bye-bye.